Hi, everybody. I'm Matt Katz, filling in for Melissa Harris-Perry, and this is The Takeaway. The 19th century was a time of great innovation, and to marvel at all the latest creations, countries across the globe used to gather at the world's fairs. It was there where we first saw the Eiffel Tower, the Ferris wheel, the television and telephone, and where we ate our first ice cream cone. That tradition continues in Dubai right now, but its legacy may not actually be tied to what the public will see unveiled next, but what's laid bare behind the scenes. The World's Fair in Dubai, known as Expo 2020, has employed migrant workers to build it out, and many are claiming they were tricked into coming to the city for unlivable wages after paying an illegal fee to local recruiters. Some workers even reported having their passports confiscated, leaving them stranded in a foreign country. For more on the human rights issues plaguing Expo 2020 in Dubai, I spoke with Isabel Debray, Gulf and Iran correspondent for the Associated Press. I started off by asking Isabel, what exactly is Expo 2020?
Over the past century, people have gone crazy for the World's Fair. You know, that's where ketchup was invented. That's where the Eiffel Tower was unveiled. It was a huge event that meant so much to the world. And in the past, you know, maybe decade or so, people have kind of started caring less about the World Expo. But it's still around, still chugging along, and it's at a different country every few years. And Dubai won the World Expo bid 8 years ago. And it was this huge deal for the city that was, you know, trying to put itself on the world stage. And it's this massive event. Dubai built this sprawling exhibition center in the middle of the desert outside of the city. And it invited, you know, over 190 countries to participate. They all have their own pavilions and you can go inside, and each country is trying to basically pitch you the best things about it. And it's kind of like a massive, you know, fairground experience, but educational and historical.
Constructing this project is obviously a massive ordeal. So tell me about the workers who have been creating it, who have been constructing it. You found that many were forced to survive through inhumane practices. Could you elaborate on what these workers are going through?
As you mentioned, it's this massive undertaking, and it's this massive chance for Dubai to sort of put itself on the world stage. And just because it is the UAE, it also, the Dubai Expo sort of dealt with the same labor system that the UAE deals with. And it's called the Kafala Labor Sponsorship System. And it basically works by tying the worker's residency or their visa to their job. So it basically gives employers this kind of outsized amount of power where absconding, they call it absconding, but basically leaving the job or changing employers is not allowed. That is, you know, you can basically land in prison or be fined or deported for doing that. You're not allowed to unionize. That's also against the law. And in many cases, you know, there's no minimum wage, and you're obliged to live in these sorts of dormitories or these kind of housing where, you know, housing is provided, but you kind of have no say over your personal space, your privacy. You live often with, sometimes it's just 4 to 6, sometimes up to 10 people kind of crammed into one room. And so this is the system that prevails in the UAE and actually across the Persian Gulf. And this is what workers were facing here at Expo.
And there were thousands of workers, I guess at the height of construction?
Yes, there were tens of thousands of workers over the course of construction. Yes, and obviously it took many years. And we saw that over different periods of time, you know, the conditions differed. And we spoke to researchers that were really documenting the situation during the coronavirus pandemic and when it hit, and found that the conditions in these dormitories were, you know, it was very crowded. It was unsafe. You had 80 people at one point sharing a single toilet. You know, you had people who were basically terminated without notice, deprived of months of wages. And that was happening during the pandemic. So that was over the course of the year. But, you know, also some of these sort of similar conditions did also occur even as the fair opened in the past few months.
Could you zoom out a little bit? Labor issues and worker abuses when it comes to migrant workers, that's not a new issue for the Gulf, right? Can you give a little bit of context here about how Dubai has been built and the way migrant workers have been used in these construction projects.
This is not new. And I think it's become, you know, just more contentious over the years. But the system really emerged in the 1950s as, you know, oil was booming and these countries were making lots of money, the Persian Gulf. And economies were developing fast. Dubai was, you know, needed, like all the rest of the countries in the Gulf, needed to import foreign cheap labor. And the way to do that was, you know, from Africa and Southeast Asia. They don't have a population here that would be able to sustain that. It's a very small local population. And so they imported, you know, ultimately millions of workers that, again, needed the jobs to you know, lift their own families out of poverty. And so we're happy for these positions in the Gulf. And yeah, that's how these societies were built. Basically, from the desert, you have Dubai, this massive, you know, skyscrapers, futuristic skyline that was built by laborers who came here from their own countries across Africa and Asia and other countries in the Middle East. So this is definitely not new. But I think what we're seeing, at least in the past decade, is these government mega projects are only becoming more frequent, especially with massive events that the world cares about, like whether that's the World Cup in Qatar that's coming up next year. You have Formula One in Saudi Arabia for the first time this year. You have obviously Expo. And these are big world events that the world, you know, people care about. They're sending their citizens to visit, that boost the brand of the home country. It makes them look tolerant and cosmopolitan. That's, you know, really wonderful for these countries. But it also does bring scrutiny. And so we're seeing, okay, you know, great that you have these beautiful, you know, exhibits and this, you know, these fairgrounds, but who built it and what were their conditions and what rights did they have? And those questions, I think, are increasingly being asked.
And these are migrant workers recruited from their home countries, right? Where are they from and how does that system work?
These people are from, you know, typically quite poor countries, mostly Africa, Southeast Asia, a lot from India and Pakistan. And what happens is, I mean, there's a reason why these people are so desperate to work in Dubai, to go abroad. They're from, you know, they come from poverty. They're in very desperate conditions. And often, you know, people I've spoken to kind of describe the system where, you know, whether it's the village in Ghana or in Fiji, wherever it is, people are whispering about sort of the promise of Dubai and the excitement, the money you could make, the money you could send home, and, you know, remittances, the money that workers do send home to powers economies. It lifts families out of poverty. It's a huge deal for these countries like the Philippines.
Sure.
And so that's what, you know, they're sent. Sometimes they've never been outside of their country and they're sort of plopped into in these fairgrounds in Dubai or, you know, wherever they work in the Gulf. But in the case of Expo, yeah, they're sometimes on Expo specific contracts. Sometimes they just are sent to Dubai and then the massive company based in Dubai or Abu Dhabi then sends them to Expo.
How much are these workers getting paid?
I mean, I spoke to many cleaners that were not getting more than $190 a month.
And your reporting also indicated that some of these workers had their passports or IDs taken by their employers. So therefore, it wasn't like they could leave the job or find a different job or go home necessarily, right?
Exactly. And this is something that does happen across Dubai, the UAE, the entire region, that passport confiscation is a tactic that employers use to basically keep their employers, their employees. And it deprives people of their ability to leave, their ability to even go to the bank, to do anything if they do want to have, you know, access to that and they're not able to. Right. it's a huge issue.
Isabel Dubray is the Associated Press's Gulf and Iran correspondent. Isabel, thanks so much for coming on and explaining all these issues related to the Expo. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.